So today what we're going to discuss is the issue of Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is fascinating for a number of reasons. Number one is, conceptually, what is it? I mean, when you think of, you know, Torah study, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, what do you think of? B'shach b'chav kamecha, we say it in Shema every morning, every evening. You have a set time in the morning, you have a set time in the evening. This is once every 3 days. What does this have to do with b'shach b'chav kamecha? Once every 3 days, where does that come from? Number two is, there's a fascinating Gemara in Masech the Megillah. Masech the Megillah in Chav Gimel, it says that Me'ikar HaDin, you could have for Kriyas HaTorah, it's not just males, but you could have a female, or you could have a minor. Now we know minors, you know, Ketanim, are exempt from all mitzvos. What, when it comes to women, we don't, Me'ikar HaDin, why, by the way, does the Gemara say not? It says, Ne Kavod HaTzibor. Kavod HaTzibor means someone who's representing the community. You want them to essentially reflect the entirety of the system. You want them, someone who is reflective of the entirety of the system. Since women have a number of exemptions, there are a number of mitzvot that women are not obligated in, so you have a male as opposed to a female. But women have an exemption from Talmud Torah. Children have an exemption from Talmud Torah. Why Me'ikar HaDin could they get an aliyah if they're exempt from the whole institution to start with? What is this? What is Kriyas HaTorah? And we have a number of questions that are very challenging in terms of what the nature of this institution is. I'll give you an example. You have this concept where there's a debate whether for Kriyas HaTorah everyone stands or just the person getting the aliyah stands. The Maharam of Rutenberg says that really everyone should be standing. Whereas what? Really everyone should be standing for Kriyas HaTorah. Whereas according to the other opinions that the Ramah quotes, the other Rishonim, the rest of the people can sit. So what's that debate, whether we should be sitting or standing? Another question. The Gemara in Megillah says, an essential Kriyas HaTorah is three aliyot, three aliyas. What does that correspond to three? Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. What does that mean, that you should have one Kohen, one Levi, Yisrael? What is an essential Kriyas HaTorah, a basic Kriyas HaTorah? 10 psukim. What's 10 psukim correspond to? The Aseres HaDibros. What does that have to do? I mean, we can find a pattern, or we can find a paradigm for any number. So what does that mean? Kohen Levi Yisrael and Aseres HaDibros. Another question. There's an interesting Yerushalmi. Usually the Gemara, when it deals with it, it analyzes a facet of a halacha. It's a facet that gives an insight into the nature of the halacha. So what is the question the Gemara deals with? It says you shouldn't lean on the bima. The Kriyas HaTorah takes place on a bima. You shouldn't lean on it. Why is that detail? Why is that so integral? Why is that so essential that you're not supposed to lean on the bima? Another question. If it were davening, if we're talking about tefillah, the Mishnah, the Gemara always says, Yored lifnei hateva. Yored lifnei hateva. You go right up to the Ark, to the Aron Kodesh. The person is a shliach tzibor. The person is representing the corporate entity. They stand in front of the group, in front of the community, representing the community. Here it's just the opposite. Here what happens with Kriyas HaTorah? We go to the middle. It takes place in the center, in the middle of everything, surrounded by everyone. Why is that? And another question, why is it that there's an elevated bima? Normally it's Yored Lifnei HaTeva. If it would be prayer, you go to a lower altitude. Mima'amakim kirasicha Hashem. The Gemara in Brachos Dav Vav. What's mima'amakim? Literally it means from an emotional state of dire straits. When a person emotionally is in dire straits. Here it's saying from an altitudinally, so what? So the drasha is that when a person is in a lower altitude, it's a more humble position. If you're supposed to be more humble for prayer, why is it by Kriyas HaTorah that it's elevated? Another question. What's going on up there? You have to have a Gabbai Rishon, a Gabbai Sheni, a Bal Korei, I understand. There's an Ola, the person that gets the Aliyah. There's someone who reads the Torah. There's a Gabbai Rishon, a Gabbai Sheni. What's all of that? What is all of that? Another question. What does it have to do with davening? What is Kriyas HaTorah? Why is that in the middle of davening, in the middle of the tefillah? That's why we're talking about it, because this is a series on tefillah, on prayer. So what is that? That's the question. There are other questions as well, but just to review some of them. Why in the middle? Why in an elevated position? What's a debate? Is does everybody have to stand or just the person getting the Aliyah stand? The Maharam of Rutenberg and the other Rishonim. What's this business of three and what's the business of ten? Ten Keneged Aseres HaDibros, three corresponding to the Kohen Levi Yisrael. What is all of that? Okay? What is this institution? Why once every 3 days? By the way, we'll come back to it. Why Monday, Thursday? Shabbos, I understand. People are off from work. It's a time when people can convene and fulfill this mitzvah. But, you know, do it Saturday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Or do it Saturday, Shabbos, Monday, and Wednesday. Why Monday and Thursday? Another question to think of. And what we're going to do is, we're going to see in the two Achronim developed this. They developed this so beautifully. One is the Rav. Rabbi Soloveitchik gave a Yahrzeit shir, and the other is the Lavush. The Lavush, his name was Mordechai Yaffe. He lived in Poland. He was a contemporary of the Ramah. He was originally going to write the equivalent of a Shulchan Aruch, a code of Jewish law. When he heard that Joseph Caro, and together with Rav Moshe Isserles, they were creating this concept of the code of Jewish law, what he did was he didn't write one. He said, you know, why duplicate? But when he saw the Shulchan Aruch and all it was specific halachos, details, without explanations, without giving the svara, the rationale, or the rhyme and reason behind why we do, so then he wrote his work, the famous Lavush. And he, when he explains Kriyas HaTorah, he goes into this. Those two achronim, the Rav Zatzal and the Lavush, Mordechai Yaffe. You know what they say? They say, you know what Kriyas HaTorah is? It's not Talmud Torah. It uses Talmud Torah. It's Jewish education. It's learning. It's Talmud Torah. But that's the vehicle it uses. You know what it is? It's a reenactment of Ma'amad Har Sinai. What we're doing is we're actually demonstrating, we're actually reenacting the Har Sinai experience. That's the whole idea of the elevated bima. That's the whole idea of it has to be in the middle of the people. It's enveloped by everyone. That's the idea of Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. It has to reflect all dimensions of the Jewish people. It's a national experience. It's a communal experience. And it has to reflect the whole nation was there. What is 10? The Aseres HaDibros. Because that event, that Har Sinai experience, what is that? That was done as a decalogue. 10 unique, distinct statements. So our reenactment of that is what? Is 10 statements. Next, the debate whether you should stand or sit. We'll get to that in a second. But what is this business of a gabai and a ole and a bal kore? So the gabai, he plays the role, the Yerushalmi says, of God, the sirsur. I'm sorry, of the Ribono Shel Olam. He's organizing this. He's the one who's running this. Bal kore, he plays the role of Moshe. Because the people, you know, there was a certain point where they couldn't handle experience after a while. So Moshe is communicating the knowledge between the knowledge of God, the ideas, the concepts that God has given him to the people, even though God said the original to, Anochi and Hashem and Lo Yi Elecha. Who is the Ola? The Ola represents the people. There's a giver, there's a receiver, right? The Ola is receiving it. And who is the intermediary, so to speak, creating the relationship between the Almighty and the people, the bridge, that's Moshe. So the Gabai Rishon, God, overseeing it, Moshe, and the Ola who represents the people. What's a Gabai Sheni? A Gabai Sheni is almost like, you know, Mariano Rivera. He's the relief pitcher waiting in the bullpen. In the event that you have a scenario where the gabai has to get the aliyah. So he's no longer playing the gabai, he's now playing the people. Or the bal kore has to get the aliyah. You need a third person up there. You need three parties. There are three parties, Hashem, Moshe, and the people. So the role of a gabai sheni is in the event that one of the other three can't play their role, that's where the gabai sheni comes in. Okay? Now, what's the idea of standing up, sitting down? According to the Maharam of Rutenberg, it's not just this, so to speak, this Broadway play, the reenactment of what happened at Har Sinai, being played out, being demonstrated by the Gabai Rishon, the Bal Kore, and the Ola. No. Everyone plays the role of the tzibor. Yes, the ola is representing the tzibor. The person getting the aliyah is representing the community. That's true. But every member, every man, woman, and child at Har Sinai was standing in a state of awe and reverence. That's the Maharam of Rottenberg. According to the other Rishonim, it's just the ola playing the role of the tzibor. Everyone else is watching the Broadway play. Everyone else is observing, so to speak, this reenactment. They're not actual players in the reenactment. They're not participants in the reenactment. They're observing it. Okay? I want to go back for a second. The detail. You're not allowed to lean on the bima. What is that you're not allowed to lean on the bima? So there's a fascinating, the Yerushalmi says the following. Ma Torah nitna be'ema be'yira be'resus uvezeya. Just like when the Torah was given by God, it was an awe-inspiring experience. It was a time of awe and reverence, trepidation. So when we reenactment, you know, it's not a bar room where everybody, you know, sitting with a beer mug and just, you don't do that. It's a perspective of awe and reverence. That's why they can't lean on the bima. They stand. And in according to the Maharam of Rottenberg, it's not just those who are at the bima itself, it's everybody enveloping them. The Bali Tosfos and Bava Kama make the following statement. You know what they say? What's Monday and Thursday? The ultimate, the Nesinas HaTorah, the giving of the Torah that stuck, that was the perfected giving of the Torah, without the Shivrei, the breaking of the Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos, without the sin of the golden calf. It wasn't the one that was at Shavuos. It was the third ascent on the Mount. The third ascent on the Mount where Moshe Rabbeinu ascends on Rosh Chodesh Elul and descends on Yom Kippur, that first ever Yom Kippur where he comes back with the Luchos, with the tablets. What happened? The ascent was on Thursday. Rosh Chodesh Elul that year was Thursday. Yom Kippur, that first Yom Kippur, was a Monday. So why Monday and Thursday? People make a mistake. They confuse it with another Gemara in Bava Kama, that the courts would sit, the financial courts would sit, because those were market days, Monday and Thursday, when the people would come from the villages and the farms. That's not why Kriyas HaTorah is Monday and Thursday. Kriyas HaTorah is Monday and Thursday because the ultimate giving of the Torah, the giving of the Torah that had a permanent impact, was the third ascent on the Mount, and that's why we demonstrate that. Okay? Now, going back to the 10 psukim, it's true that if we have a special occasion to reflect that this is a greater day of learning, there's a greater quality of Talmud Torah on this day because it's not just a weekday, because of its unique status. So it's true, we'll have extra aliyot. We'll go from 3 on a weekday to 4 on a Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, to 5 on a Yom Tov when there's an Isra Malacha, you can't do any work at all, to 6 on a Yom Kippur when you can't do any Malacha at all, not even food preparation, ultimately to 7. The Yom Kippur is a day of avoda, of davening. Shabbos is the ultimate day of learning. So there's a second component, there's a second takana of unique special days having a Kriyas HaTorah. But the essential Kriyas HaTorah is 10 psukim and 3 aliyot. Okay? Now, there are many other factors as well. We're just quoting a few here. What we've done is we've defined what Kriyas HaTorah is. So I want to ask you a question. Why? And, you know, the halachic trivial pursuit. What was the very first rabbinic enactment? What was the very first rabbinic institution? It was by Aaron, Moshe, and Miriam. Before you had the Sanhedrin that it was established in Baal Oscha, the first enactment was the idea of not going 3 days. Shelo yelchu gimel yamim. They shouldn't go 3 days without what? 3 days without reenacting this experience. Why? What's so crucial about this experience? And it's interesting. It's not like you're saying something or you're reading something or you're studying something. We're actually demonstrating it. We're reenacting. We're demonstrating it. What is that? And I want to just make a comment. We have two paradigms for this in the Torah. A paradigm for this rabbinic institution. One is the 612th mitzvah, we call Hakel. Every 7 years after the Shemitah cycle, now that we're about to start it's a new cycle for the Jewish people. It's about to start the first year of the cycle. The nation comes together at the beginning of that first year of the cycle for Sukkot. And what happens after the first day of the holiday, after they make Havdalah? Anashim Nashim V'taf, the whole nation comes together to the Temple Mount. And what do? They erect a bima. And the people envelop the bima in the melech, the person who's responsible, that society functions properly. He communicates the knowledge of God. Key sections of Sefer Devarim. They reenact that experience. What is the idea of Anashim Nashim V'taf? Everybody says, they're little kids. You know, it might be past their bedtime. What are you bringing little kids to this? Because they may not remember the ideas. Educationally, from a point of view of intellectual education, it may not have a huge impact, but they'll always remember that scene. That scene that they can't forget when the whole nation unites, the whole nation becomes one. What is that? In every generation, the Torah demands we reenact that experience. That's Hakel. And the other model in the Torah is in Parshas Re'eh, where it's first spoken about, and then it's developed in Parshas Kisavo. What ultimately, how it's played out, is the covenant of Har Gerizim and Har Eval in Sefer Yoshua. When the new generation, it's not the generation of Moshe, it's not the generation that received the Torah at Har Sinai, it's a new generation that's come into the land of Israel. What's the very first thing they do? They reenact their commitment to the covenant. They reenact that covenant that took place at Har Sinai. They do it at Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And we're all familiar with that from the Psukim in Parshas Re'eh and Parshas Kisavo, and if you look in Sefer Yoshua. That is that idea. Why? Why? So that is an important principle in Jewish philosophy. This halacha is a manifestation of that principle. If you go back to Parshas Veschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the last month of his life, the last few weeks of his life, he's about to die. He's reviewing, they're no longer in the desert, they're in Arvos Moav, the plains of Moav. Pretty soon they'll cross the Jordan River, the new generation under Joshua, under Yehoshua ben Nun. But he reviews with them not only Jewish law, but the essential principles of Jewish history and the essential principles of Jewish philosophy. Why we are who we are, what do we stand for? And there's a whole section, Veschanan, where what does he review with them? And I'm going to speak in our terms. He says to them, why do you observe what you observe? Why do you commit yourself to the life you commit yourself to? Not because of faith. Not because you suspended rational, logical thought, you know, and believe in this person or believe in this incident. No. It's for very, very clear, rational, logical reasons. It's a function of an event that men, women, children, that Mesopotamian, Egyptian, Philistine, Central African, they all experienced. What was that? The Har Sinai experience. David Copperfield can make the Empire State Building disappear. It wasn't smoke and mirrors. It wasn't a light show. It wasn't about, you know, miracles, you know, other theologies. They claim they saw the carpenter of Nazareth. One or two people claim they saw him walk on the Sea of Galilee. This one claims he saw Muhammad ascend to heaven, Al-Aqsa. No. It's not about miracles or wonders. This is about rational, logical ideas communicated to everyone, to man, woman, and child, to the Erev Rav we mentioned, as well as to the native Jew. What's the point? What's the point? If we went, we happen to be here, we're filming at OU World Headquarters on Wall Street, down here at 11 Broadway near Wall Street. But let's say we crossed the Hudson River to New Jersey. We went to the MetLife Stadium. And you and I, on a Sunday afternoon in the fall, we're in the parking lot of MetLife Stadium. And we see thousands, tens of thousands of vehicles. Virginia, Maryland license plates, Pennsylvania license plates, New Jersey, New York license plates. And people are exiting different parts of the stadium. And we see there's no inherent connection. And you ask everybody, what happened in there? And you get an answer from over 70,000 people. They tell you, the Giants beat the Redskins 20-14. And then you go to other parts of the parking lot and to the people going into the Maryland license plates and the people going into the Jersey light and the New York license plates. And they're all giving you the same. What happened in there was the Giants beat the Redskins 20-14. A nuance, a detail, they may make a mistake. You know, did RG3 throw for 240 yards or was it 230 yards? You know, did Eli Manning Did he throw for the touchdown in the third quarter, or was it the beginning of the fourth quarter? You know, the details they may make a mistake on, but the clear basic idea across the board. 70-some thousand people all saying the same thing. There's no rational, logical reason to assume this was a conspiracy, that this was a hoax, that this was a lie. No one ever claimed, no one ever purported such a thing in history. And what? That's the basis of why we are who we are. It's not, we don't rely on Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, we're committed to Moshe Rabbeinu. The reason we're committed to Moshe Rabbeinu is because of this event. Because he was not pulling this off. This was between the people and God. He was their educator. He was the broker. But it was between God and the people, the covenant here. It's not like, you know, Moshe, we think two people claim that he did a miracle or one person claimed that Muhammad did a miracle. No, none of that. It was millions of people. We know there were 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60. We assume there were that many women as well. What about the people over 60, the people below 20? And then not to mention the thousands of the Erev Rav, as we mentioned, Philistines, Egyptians, Mesopotamians, Central Africans. And they all wanted to be part of that people, that destiny. And they all came out saying the same thing. There weren't multiple reports because you know why? It was ideas. It was concepts. It was chachma, wisdom that was communicated, clear and unambiguous. What's the point? What's the point? That's the basis of why we do what we do. That's the basis of why we are who we are. And that's something that going back to Parshas Veschanan, when Moshe reviews with them before he dies, he says, don't ever forget it. You didn't see this image. You didn't see that image. It was clear, logical ideas that were communicated. Okay, it wasn't smoke and mirrors. It wasn't miracles. It was concepts. And it wasn't to one person. It was to millions. No one in the annals of history has ever even tried to make such a claim. That is the basis of why we are who we are. And what it says in the Torah, don't ever forget that. Rak hishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha me'od. Be exceedingly, extremely careful never to forget that. Pentishkach es advarim asher ro einecha. You, with your own eyes, perceive this. With your own mind, perceive this. Number one. Number two. V'limadetem, you teach your children. Levanecha v'livnei vanecha. Yom asher madeta b'choriv. It's not enough not to forget that and to know it for yourself. It's something that you teach to your children, to your students. Whether you have biological children, whether you have students that you influence, a person has to know why we are, why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe, why we're committed to what we're committed to. And again, I'm saying it in short, simplistic terms. It's not a philosophy lecture. But the Kuzari develops this, the Rambam and the Mar Nevuchim develops this. They all say the same idea. The Ramban holds, if you look at the Ramban in Parshas Veschanan, he holds this as a separate mitzvah. It's one of the Taryag mitzvahs. Not like the Rambam, it's a detail, it's a specific aspect of Talmud Torah, of what we teach over, of the knowledge that we have to learn and internalize. The Ramban says it's its own separate, distinct category. That's why we are who we are. And what did they introduce here? Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, the very first Din D'Rabbanan, the very first rabbinic enactment, was to do it in a demonstrative way. If I could use an analogy, why did Yechezkel didn't just communicate his nevuot, the prophecies that he received? He didn't just, like other prophets, orally communicate them to people. What did he do? He acted them out. He demonstrated them. He acted them out. So we re-experience and we relive every 3 days at Har Sinai experience. What happened there? Why? Because that is why we are who we are. That's what defines us. That's what shapes us. That's the idea. Now, this is a side point. Rabbi Zucker developed this. What's it doing in the middle of davening? And why not just do it? We should do it every 3 days. Why is it in the middle of tefillah? Because what is tefillah? It's relating to God. It's Avodas Hashem Meira. It's relating to God, worshiping God from a perspective of awe and reverence. Talmud Torah is me'ava. It's love, it's intimacy, it's knowing God. This is out of a perspective of awe and reverence. The experience at Har Sinai, Ma'as Torah nitna be'ema b'yira b'reses uv'zeya. The Har Sinai experience was a perspective of awe and reverence. So in a modality of relating to God from a perspective of awe and reverence, we take this and we internalize this. We incorporate this, incorporated into Avodas Hashem Meira. That's what he felt. It was a kiyum of Avodas Hashem Meira. It has a common denominator. It fits that whole motif, that whole modality of relating to God from that perspective. Okay? What's the Baruch Hu? We've talked about this before when we analyzed the laws of Kriya Shema, Hilchas Kriya Shema. Baruch Hu is taking something that is inherently not tefillah and putting it into the rubric, putting it into the misgeres, or the rubric of tefillah. So what is tefillah? Is Avodas Hashem Meira. Inherently, learning is Talmud Torah. It's not tefillah. But reenactment of Har Sinai is also not tefillah. It's the reenactment of Har Sinai. But since it has that avoda component, we put it into the rubric, into the misgeres, the modality, the motif of relating to God from a perspective of awe and reverence. That's the Baruch Hu. It's taking something that is inherently not Avodas Hashem Meira, inherently not prayer, inherently not tefillah, and giving it a kiyum, a fulfillment of tefillah. That's what the Baruch Hu does. It introduces what we're about to do and puts it into a frame of reference. You have that by Kriya Shema. It's a philosophical statement. But the Baruch Hu does what? The Baruch Hu takes something which is a philosophical statement and it says we're giving it a kiyum tefillah. We put it into the context of brachos and we put it into the rubric and in the context of what? Of tefillah. So that's what Kriyas HaTorah is. Another time, we're going to touch upon the Haftarah. Thank you.